Hello, everybody. Yeah, my name's Paul, if you don't know me. I'm a member of this church. Okay, I'm going to speak today on developing a closer relationship with God. Now, sometimes some people, when they think about God, they might think about their relationship with their earthly father. A lot of people have problems sometimes because of their relationship with their earthly father. I know for myself, my father was very strict, and there was not a lot of physical contact, not a lot of hugging or anything like that. He was in the army, my father, so he used to parade me and my sister around the garden, and we had to stand at attention before we went to bed at night. So he was very strict, and I wasn't very close to my father throughout most of my life because he was very critical. So I guess I could have thought God was a bit like that, a bit critical, a bit judgmental. But some of you might have had real loving fathers, real, you know, loving parents. Some of you, unfortunately, may not have had a father. But whatever our experiences, whatever our relationship was or is with our earthly parents, God is so much better. He's so much more loving and caring because he's demonstrated, the Bible says in Romans 5 verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were speaking about this scripture this week with John Abbott. He mentioned it a few times when he came visiting. And I thought, oh, that's one of the scriptures I'm going to be sharing today. And it really blessed me as we were sharing about it. But you see, God does, he doesn't just sit back and say, I love you. But he's demonstrated it. He's shown us how much he really loves us by sending Jesus. And Jesus has shown how much he really loves us because he came and he died on the cross. So God's not just sitting back saying, oh, I really love you, and that's it. He's actually demonstrated how much he loves us. And in John 3:16, that well-known scripture, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, Christianity is so unique. Do you not think so? It's so unique because God has demonstrated his love. God has sent his Son to come and die on the cross, but not just to die on the cross, but to be raised from the dead and to send his Holy Spirit so that we can have a relationship with him. You know, God is more willing to have a close relationship with us than sometimes we are willing to have a relationship with God. God just wants us to have a close relationship with himself. He really does. And when I was speaking about my father before, that some people have different views of God that might affect how they approach God. Some people might think of him as critical or as judgmental. Some might think of God as a crouching tiger, ready to pounce on any mistake. They might think of God as Father Christmas. You know, if you're naughty, then he's not going to bless you. But if you're nice, then you're going to be blessed. You're going to have a good relationship. Or they might think of God as like a kind grandfather. Whatever I do, it doesn't matter. I can live the way I want. But God, those pictures of God are all false. We get our view of God from what the Bible says. God is not only a God of love, but is a God of justice and mercy and grace. There's so much more to say about God than what I'm going to share today. I'm only really touching the surface. There's so much more. You know, in this room here today, there are radio signals. There's TV signals, but in order to receive those signals, you need to have the appropriate radio or TV to tune into those signals and to receive them. And you see, God is not the variable. He's not the one who's changed. But sometimes we're the variable. We don't tune into God as we should to hear him, to have that relationship with him. He's not the one who's changed. But sometimes we let our circumstances, our thoughts, sometimes we let our problems affect us so that we don't put ourselves in a position to hear from the Lord. The first thing I want to say, I'm going to say three things about God. And as I said, it's not an exhaustive list. And it's not an exhausting list either. It's not a complete list because there's so much more we can say about God. God is approachable. That's the first thing I want to say. God is approachable. God is not a distant God. He's not miles away. He is near us. He's near enough to us for us to call upon him and to enter into his presence. In Ephesians 2, verse 13, it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." So those who've been far off, that includes you and I, we've been brought near by the blood of Christ. How do we approach God? Do we just come into, as we heard some wonderful testimonies from the youth before, how is it that we approach God? Do we call him buddy? How do we address him? Well, the scripture's clear on how we approach God. It says in Hebrews 10, verse 19, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." And if we compare Hebrews 4, verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy to find grace to help in time of need." What is our boldness to enter the presence of God? Why would he accept me? Why would he accept you? Is there anything worthy in you or me that God would say, "Oh, come into my presence"? No, the scripture clearly says that it's by faith in the blood of Christ, faith in his shed blood. That is the means of entering God's presence. Because when we come into God's presence, he sees the blood. He doesn't see our shortcomings, our failures. He doesn't see our own sense of unworthiness. What he sees is the perfect blood of Christ speaking better than the blood of Abel. God accepts us as we are, not because of who we are, but because of the blood of Christ. He sees the blood. So God is approachable. I'm sure you know about in the Old Testament, they had the temple and they had the tabernacle as well. It was split into three sections. They had the outer court, the place where the altar was, where they sacrificed bulls and goats. Then they had the holy place where there was no light. They had the lamp, the table of showbread, the altar of incense. Beyond the holy place, they had the Holy of Holies. And the priest, the high priest, of Israel could only enter the Holy of Holies once a year with the blood of animals into the presence of God. But we are not part of that anymore. There is a new covenant now. We're part of a new covenant where we don't have to bring the blood of animals because the blood of Jesus speaks greater than the blood of bull and goats. It speaks greater than the blood of animals because through his blood we've been redeemed. You see, that's the thing. You and I were sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There had to be some means of redeeming us. But God just doesn't want to redeem us. He wants us to have a relationship with him. And this is the way that we approach God, by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. So this morning you might be feeling unworthy. You might be feeling, "Oh, will God really accept me?" will he hear my prayer? We've been hearing all about prayer from the youth, and I think that was wonderful. Will he hear our prayer? Will he accept me? Sometimes we have a sense of shame, sense of guilt, a sense of unworthiness. But it doesn't matter how you feel or what you think of yourself. It's how does God see you? How does God see me? He sees us as worthy because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And through his blood, we have access at any time into his presence. That's amazing. That's really amazing. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. So secondly, another thing I'm going to say about God is, God is greater than anyone or anything else. God is greater than anyone or anything else. When we come to know God, we must realize he's not just our friend, but he's the mighty God. He's the creator of the heavens and earth. He has all power and all authority. In Romans verse 21, it says this, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. This verse describes the steps people take away from God. This, because God has always wanted to have a relationship with mankind, with man and woman. But this verse describes the steps that people take away from a relationship with God. And the first thing that people stopped doing, according to this verse, was they stopped glorifying God. The word here, glorify, the word glorified here means to render or esteem glorious. The word esteem means to regard with respect or to prize. So what these people were doing in this verse were they were magnifying, esteeming, or placing a greater value on something other than God. And if we compare that verse with Romans 11, verse 13, it says, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. The Greek word rendered magnify in this verse is the same one translated as glorified in Romans 1, 21. So magnify and glorify can be used interchangeably. To glorify God is to magnify him. If you magnify something, you're going to make something bigger. Is that correct? If you get a magnifying glass and you look at something, or a microscope, it's going to make that thing bigger. So we need to make God bigger. But technically, I know what you're going to say, I know what you're going to think, we cannot make God bigger because he is who he is. But in our thinking, in our experience, we can make God bigger by magnifying him. If you look through the small end of a pair of binoculars, as you look through them, it's going to make the object you're looking at much bigger. But have you ever turned a pair of binoculars around and looked through the big end and through the small end? It makes something a bit smaller. Is that not right? So that's what we need to do. We need to make God bigger. How do we make God bigger? By trusting him, by praising him, by taking our eyes off the problem, the situation. Because many times we're influenced by the problem, the circumstances, the situation. That can become so much bigger in our minds and in our experience than the Lord who's able to answer the need, to meet the need in that situation. I remember when I was a student many years ago, this will be in the 80s, I was in Stirling visiting a family up there in Scotland. I had no money. That's often true of students, that they don't have a lot of money. It was true back in the 80s. I had no money at all. I'd managed to get to Scotland, but I needed £5 to get back from Stirling back to college. on the train. I mean, you might think £5, that's not a lot today, but it was back then in the 80s. £5 was a lot of money. And I thought, well, how am I going to get this money? And this began to become a big problem to me, really, in my mind and my thinking. How am I going to get this £5? There was absolutely no natural way that I was going to. I guess I could have gone out busking, but I can't sing. So. But I could have done maybe gone out begging. But what I decided to do in the end was to pray and to say, Lord, please, I need £5. I need this £5. And I didn't tell anyone about my need. I just trusted God. And, you know, it was about 10, 15 minutes later, this lady came up to me and said, and I knew this lady, and she was a Christian. She said, Paul, I don't know why, but the Lord's told me to give you this £5, exactly what I needed. It was really amazing. You know, for me, it was what I needed at that time. And I remember I was living with my mum, and she was moving back to Africa, so I would have to leave the house and find another place to live. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I thought, I'm going to be homeless, because it was just me and my mum living in this house. That's before I met my wife, Eileen. I didn't know her then. But I thought, I'm going to be homeless. What's going to happen? And I read a book by Yongyi Chiao called The Fourth Dimension. And in that book, he said he prayed specifically that God would give him certain things. He prayed for a desk and a chair and a bicycle. And he prayed for these specific items. But he actually prayed about the make of the bicycle and the desk and that he required. And the Lord provided them. I thought, well, I've got to start praying, because it was becoming quite a problem to me. I thought, where am I going to live? Where am I going to go? I'm going to be on the streets. I'm going to be homeless. I've got nowhere to go. And then it came to me, well, I started praying for a house or a place with a green door. That was my prayer. I thought, if Yongyi Chiao can be specific, I'm going to be specific. So I prayed for somewhere with a green door. And it transpired after a few weeks that I was offered this flat. And guess what color the door was? It was a green door. It was a green door. So I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've given me this place to live. And God always provides. But the thing is, sometimes we're not always in the place to receive, because we make that thing bigger than what, you know, we make that thing a bigger issue, a bigger problem in our lives. But sometimes what we need to do is make God bigger in that situation, because God is able to provide. He's able to heal. He's able to restore whatever our need is today. We've been hearing about prayer. God answers prayer. He's not a distant God who doesn't answer prayer. He answers prayer. Whatever your need is today, whatever my need is, you can come to God and call upon him and pray and seek him. And if it is his will, he will provide. Not everything is God's will. If you pray for £1 million today, you may not need it. You may not be able to handle it. Your character might not be able to deal with it, so the Lord might not be giving you £1 million. But if you're at that place where you can handle it, obviously, and you need it, God will provide. God is a provider, and he will provide all of our needs. I like this verse from a hymn that you all know. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I've always loved that song. I've always loved that hymn. It's always really inspired me. So, the last thing I want to say about God is that God is good. So we've seen God is approachable. God is greater than anything or anyone else. But also God is good. He is a good God. I like a verse from a song Don Moen wrote called God is Good All the Time. It says, God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Yes, he is. There's not a time that God is not good. He's good all the time. When God revealed himself to Moses, it says in Exodus 34, verse 6, it says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. And then the Bible says this in James 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. If a gift is good, it's ultimately from God, the unchanging God. Psalm 119, verse 68 says about God, you are good and do good. In the Bible's earliest revelation about God and his creative acts, the word good is used in Genesis chapter 1. When he'd created, after the various days of creation, God said, it is good. But then he summarized his whole creation by saying, it is very good. That's how he summarized it. There's never a time that God is not good. He doesn't put sickness upon us to teach us something. A lot of people have a distorted view about God, thinking that he's the author of sickness, that he puts sickness on us or allows sickness to come into our lives in order to teach us a lesson. All I want to say to you is, would a good God do that? Would a good God put sickness on us? Because there's no record of Jesus ever having done that in the Bible. It says in John 10, verses 10 to 11, the thief does not come to steal and kill and to destroy. Oh, sorry, I read it wrong there. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. God is not a thief. He doesn't come to steal, to kill, destroy. That's not our relationship with God. Our relationship with him isn't coming to someone who's going to steal from us, going to put sickness in us, going to make our lives worse. That's not the God that we come to. Our God is a good God. Bill Johnson says this about God. He says, his goodness is beyond our ability to comprehend, but not our ability to experience. Our hearts will take us where our heads can't fit. And in Acts 10:38, it says this about Jesus. It gives a very brief, yet descriptive summary of the life and ministry of Jesus. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I remember I used to be a police officer, retired 9 years ago now, but this again was in the 80s. I'd applied to join the police and everything. I'd passed the initial test, everything like that. I'd passed the selection, so to speak, and was ready to go to training school at Bruce. That no longer exists anymore, Bruce, but we had a training school in those days. I was ready to go a few weeks away from going to Bruce. Suddenly, for some reason, I pulled a muscle in my back, and I was in agony. I couldn't walk straight. I was walking like I could hardly even walk. So I was lying on the couch in my flat, and I was just praying, saying, Lord, what am I going to do? I can't start my training because I pulled a muscle in my back. I'm not fit enough to go. Anyway, what happened is the Lord spoke to Eileen, my wife's mother. Her name was Margaret, and said, you've really got to go and visit Paul Graham. Just out the blue, it came as she was praying. You've got to go visit him. She didn't know why. So Eileen brought her mum to my flat, driving through all the traffic to get there. But just as they arrived, her brother, who's called Paul, is a Baptist pastor in Barrie. But at that time, he was a taxi driver driving these black cabs. And it transpired this would be the only vehicle that I could have got into, this black cab, because it had loads of room. And the way my body was all distorted, I couldn't have got into any other car, because Eileen only had a Metro at that time. I don't think I would have ever fitted in it. So anyway, along comes Eileen and her mum, and along comes this black cab. Anyway, they all arrived at the same time. They came in. And Eileen's mum says, you're not staying here, you're coming home with us. A real Wigan woman, you know, this is at the voice of authority. You're going to, so, you're not staying here, you're coming home with us. And Paul said, yeah, I'll take you in the taxi. So they took me home to their house and that. And Eileen's mum, she was a real prayer warrior. She really was. She'd gone to be with the Lord, and I'll bless her, but she was a real prayer warrior, and she really prayed. And I was laying on this bed, and I felt the Lord say, get up and go. There's a nearby field to where they lived at the time. Get up and go walk around that field. I said, Lord, it's too painful. Anyway, I did. And, you know, as I was laying in that bed at night time, I felt a heat pass through my body. I knew God was healing me at that time because I was trusting God for him to heal me. And, you know, I was completely healed of that, of my back problem. And I was able to go to join my class, or I was able to go and start my training. Well, that's a good God. That is a good God, and he meets us at our point of need. He knows what we need. He didn't put that sickness or that problem on me. I'd probably done it to myself by probably doing something foolish. I can't exactly remember. But he's a good God. And I like this quote by Rick Warren, where he says, while God has many characteristics, he is all-knowing, omniscient. He is all-powerful, omnipotent. And he can be everywhere at the same time, omnipresent. The Bible tells us God is holy, just, kind, loving, and faithful. And God is good. In fact, trust in his goodness is the basis for all prayer. If God is not a good God, then why would he expect him to answer our prayers? Why would we be motivated to pray to him at all? So I hope today you got something out of what I've shared with you, that God is approachable, God is greater than anyone or anything else, and that God is good. And to conclude, I'd just like to share some scriptures with you, which says in Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He's only a prayer away today. If you feel distant from God, if you feel distant from the Lord, all you need to do is turn to him. Say, Lord, I'm coming back to you. I'm coming to you, Lord. Lord, I'm just going to magnify you. I'm just going to glorify you. I'm just going to praise you. I'm just going to put that problem, that issue, in its rightful place, which is below you, Lord, because you're greater than anyone or anything else. today, if you're feeling unworthy, maybe there's shame, maybe there's things in your life that you feel you can't approach God, God is saying, come to me. He wants you to come into his presence. He wants you to come and worship him. He wants you to know him better. That's what God wants. This is the foundation of our lives. It's knowing God. It's knowing him that's really important. Because without knowing him, we don't really have a stable foundation for our lives. Thanks for listening. And I'll just end in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you care about us. You care about our needs. You care about everything in our lives. The hairs of our head are numbered according to your word. And I thank you that you love each one of us here, Lord. And Lord, you would move heaven and earth if necessary to meet our need, if that was what was required. But I thank you've already done that, Lord. You've sent the Lord Jesus Christ to come and die on the cross. We're so grateful to you for what you've done, Lord. I pray, keep us in the love of God. Keep us in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Keep reminding us, Lord, of your love, your grace, your mercy, and let us be instruments or vessels of your love to one another and to other people as well, whom we may meet in our daily lives this coming week. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, some really great stuff there about who God is. And you know, because of who God is, we know who we are. We have an identity in Christ, and that's such a wonderful thing. Yeah, we'll close it there. Be blessed. Let's go and have some fellowship, some tea, coffee, whatever else may be down there. I don't know.